Good evening, everybody. Wow, I wasn't expecting this, but it is awesome. And as we go through some things, I will expand a little bit, expound. First of all, I'd like to thank Kim and Belinda and Sam for coming out tonight. Some people have already contacted us and said that they can't make it, and we're hoping that it was going to be part of a podcast, and it will be. So thank you to them. Before we get started, I believe, and I know that you agree as well, that we are living in some very unprecedented times. In the last 4 or 5 months, like I've said before, if someone had told me that churches are going to be closed, you will not be able to gather to worship, everyone will be wearing masks, I would have said, you're out of your mind. But those things have come to pass. And there are a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of information, and there is a lot of misinformation out there. It was driving me crazy. And I just wanted to take the time to teach you how to discern the times. Because everything that I'm going to teach you tonight is out of the Bible. Actually, I would like to back up a little bit and give a warm welcome to Donzie. So before we get going, one of the things that God has been impressing upon my heart is that we as a body, that we individually need to be in prayer. And just the regular, rote, ritualistic, wake up in the morning, God bless me sort of prayers are not going to sustain us when things get difficult. We need to learn how to pray effectively, fervently, with purpose, and with an ear to the Holy Spirit. Because there are so many different voices out there, it's easy to get sucked in and off track. So what I want to do tonight, first, before we even start, I just want to take a little bit of a moment of silence, and I want you to pray individually. I want you to say, Lord, help me to close out the garbage that we live in right now. Help me to close out the murmurings and the screaming in our ears, and help me to discern what is right and what is true. I don't want you to take what I say tonight and accept it because I say it. I want you to be like the Bereans and test what I say with the scriptures. You need to learn and know how to yield the word of God. Christians, for the most part, have no idea what this says. They can quote some scriptures, but when it comes down to a spiritual battle, do you really know how to yield that sword? So I want you, and I'm going to take a little bit of time, I want you to know, as your pastor, I have been in prayer about tonight. I have, if I start to shake up here a little bit, it's because I've been fasting for about 22 to 23 hours. I wanted to make sure that I knew what God wanted to say, and that I present it well, and that it is anointed. Every time that I come up here to speak, every time that anyone comes up to here to speak on a Sunday morning, we have the men gather around, we lay hands on them, and we pray that their words are not just their words, they're the words of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to take just a couple moments and just thank God, first and foremost, for who he is. Because even in the midst of all the garbage, he's still on the throne. There are a lot of people out there who would like to tell you that he's not, but he is. So just take a moment to thank him for who he is, for the blessings in your life, and to allow you to hear, that he would give you ears to hear and eyes to see. and not be swayed by so much of the garbage that we live in today. So let's take a moment and do that. Heavenly Father, we just lift up your name in this place. We worship you for who you are, Lord. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This, everything that goes on that seems to be chaos, is a part of your plan. So, Lord, I just pray with all of the deceiving spirits, with all of the lies that are prevalent today, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see your truth. Lord, help us to have wisdom. You said in your word that if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask for it. So I ask for wisdom tonight. I ask for discernment tonight, so that when things get difficult, we can stand firm upon the foundation that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Guide us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to show a clip. It's about 13, 14 minutes long, something like that. And then we're going to go ahead and dive in. This is a pastor from Kentucky. His name is Dana Coverstone. Well, I'll just let him go ahead and share.
Hey, this is Dana Coverstone. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a patriot, I love this country. And I can confirm the first part of what I'm about to tell you because I told some men at a prayer group back in December, second or third week of December. But I want to share three specific dreams that I've had recently, going back to December, two that I've had this week, both Monday and last night, Monday and Tuesday night. Because I believe, number one, they are prophetic. The first one that I had has come explicitly true based on the events of March through June, the month in which we're living. And I do not claim to be a prophet by any means. I understand, though, that some dreams and visions by their nature have a prophetic tendency to them. But I do believe I've seen things, both that have happened as relevant by the first dream that I had and some things that I've seen recently. So you can take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. You can pray about it. You can think about it. But I believe that I have a warning.
A lot of us want to get rid of interabdominal.
A warning for rural America, a warning for America overall. But here's what happened. Back in December, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a calendar starting January 2020. And it was being flipped. And I saw January, I saw February, I saw March. And when March came up, the hand held it, and I saw a finger underline the month of March, and then tap it three times. So underline the month of March, tapped it three times. So to me, it was emphasis. Something's going to happen in March. And then I saw April, May, June. And when June came, the hand underlined June again and tapped it three times. Then in the vision, I saw people marching. I saw protests. I saw people wearing masks. I saw lines going into hospitals. I saw typical medical doctors with needles or syringes. I saw people on ventilators. I saw people who were very, very sick, very, very ill. I saw newspaper headlines trumpeting thousands of people getting sick. I saw ambulances just flying down roads. And then I saw cities on fire. I saw buildings being burned. I saw protesters with masks. I saw people who had their fists in the air, people who were yelling and screaming, angry at the world. I saw courthouses. I saw state houses surrounded. I saw people who were mad at the world. I saw guns, shotguns specifically, put in the air, held like this. And I saw barriers within cities. And I told several men in my church about this, and I can confirm who those men were, and they'll confirm that what I'm telling you is what I told them. I saw absolute chaos. And the other thing I saw was vultures flying over large cities. not just the ones that were burning, but I saw vultures flying over the cities, and I saw smoke rising, and I saw people fearful, I saw people terrified, I saw people inside their homes, and looking out the windows, the curtains of their windows, with guns in their hands, because there was absolute fear. Then I heard the words, brace yourself, brace yourself. So since December, I've been hearing those words, brace yourself, brace yourself. January, February came, didn't seem too much. I reminded the men of the dream. And then in March, boom, COVID-19 hit. And things started shutting down. Churches were shut down. Business was shut down. The economy shut down. Then we began to see the protests starting in May in Minneapolis. And all those things began to go on. So where we are at the end of the primary election here in Kentucky. And now there's talk of more shutdowns. I just heard the governor talk about schools opening back up and things of that nature. But the things that I saw in a dream and vision back in December are the same things that I watched in the news almost every day since March through June. All this time I kept hearing, brace yourself, brace yourself. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in the Word. I'm a pastor. And it's not just my job. It's something that I enjoy doing. I love doing. And I'm very interested in the news around the world. I read 40 newspapers a day from all around the world. I keep up with news in other parts of the nations, better sometimes than I hear here, because it's hard to know who to trust. But I get news from all over the world, all around the world, from both liberal and conservative sources. I'm very well read. I'm very understanding of how nations work. I've traveled quite a bit, and I'm not just making these things up. I can confirm what I have said. And with that in mind, on Monday night, I had another dream. And it woke me from my bed. I made notes about it. I shot some video myself, just making sure I can remember. But here's what I saw. I saw a calendar. Start with a calendar. And as I was having this, the calendar was up, a white figure appeared. And it was representing God, the Holy Spirit, something pure, something righteous, something true, something holy, because there was nothing nothing sinister about it, nothing evil. But I heard the voice say, part two, part two. And I saw June go up. I saw July, I saw August, and then I saw September. And I saw the finger underneath the word September, like emphasizing it, and tapped it three times. And then I saw October come up, and then I saw November. And this is when it got real to me in the dream. I think the intensity, according to my Fitbit, when I woke up, my heart rate was about 180. So that was Monday night. It was also a night that I woke up not feeling very well at all. I was up during the night, not feeling well. But anyway, the minute the finger underlined November three times, instead of tapping it, I saw a fist ball up and it hit the calendar. And literally, the calendar exploded into the wall. The numbers seemed like they were 3D and they were falling. They were just flying everywhere. And there was a cloud of chaos that started. And then the next thing I saw was I saw armed protesters. I saw fighting in the streets. I saw people pummeling one another. I saw businesses shuttered and shut up. I saw schools closed. I saw schoolrooms with cobwebs hanging in them and like things like papers falling off the wall and posters falling like no one had been in them for months. I saw bank buildings with the roofs being taken off. And it looked almost like alien abduction because money was just flying through the roof into some type of like a vacuum cleaner. That sounds kind of strange, but I was watching wealth just being taken. I saw politicians in back rooms making deals with people, patting people on the back and laughing and smiling and smirking. And I saw monuments. I saw Washington, D.C. burning. I saw Washington, D.C. blazing. I saw fires everywhere. I saw people being rounded up. I saw Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground. And Russian soldiers were telling the Chinese soldiers to go and pick up these people, round up these people, secure this quadrant, secure this area. I saw blue helmets of the UN. I saw military things taking place. I also saw no sign of President Trump. I saw no sign of leadership in Washington, D.C. But the vultures that I had seen were now like gargoyles, and they were 10 feet off the ground, 10 to 15 feet off the ground. And they were just attacking people mercilessly. I saw people hiding in their homes and garages. I saw churches being burned. I saw homes being burned. I saw absolute chaos. And the fist punch on the November of 2020 is what got my attention. And then I heard the words again, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. That has been something that I have heard for almost seven months now. Starting once we get to July, it's going to be 7 months. And once again, I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I'm not claiming, proclaiming, you know, just, we'll see what happens in November through November and see if I'm right about this. But I know when I hear God's voice, I know what God's voice sounds like to me. I know when he speaks. And I know when I have a dream that I know is him. And the things that I was seeing, I don't say this to scare people, but I say this to warn people that there are some pretty sinister things coming down the pike. And not just for the lost, but for God's people as well. The second dream I had last night, and it woke me up. In this dream, we just had a yard sale to help fund a team going to Ecuador this next year. And we had a yard sale. And I had asked our secretary to get us some change for that that yard sale. So in the dream that I'm having, I walk to the bank. I walk into the bank to get some change. And on the door it says there's no change available. I saw the sign, it registered in my mind, but I walked on in, and the president of the local bank was at the teller station, and she was going to be taking care of business. And I said, I need to get $10 in quarters for a yard sale. And she said, I'm sorry, but the U.S. Mint is no longer making currency or making change, like pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars. We're not doing that anymore. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She said, they've stopped doing it. And I said, well, how are we going to be able to charge $1.50 for anything? And she said, prepare for hyperinflation and just charge $2. And then she said to me in the dream, oh, and by the way, $1 and $5 bills will follow soon after that. And then I heard those words, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. And I woke up, I wrote these things down. I've never gone on video and recorded the dreams that I've had. And I hesitated to not do the one I had back in December. But everything I saw in that dream in December came true between March and June, when in the dream I was showed March through June. And so I don't think I would be doing anyone a service if I don't share what I saw in these dreams and visions. And I believe that we're going to see not just a second huge wave of COVID between September, October, November, but we're going to see major things with the elections. We're going to see major chaos in our country. We're going to see troops in our cities. We're going to see the protests get even worse. We're going to see buildings burn. We're going to see what could only lead to civil war in this country. And so for my friends that are believers, I'm just going to share you what I think you need to hear. First of all, you need to be preparing food. You need to make sure you've got alternative forms of currency like silver or gold or whatever. I believe you need to have an ample supply of both guns and ammunition. And that's not just the Second Amendment fan in me coming out. That is the things that we're seeing. They're talking about defunding the police. That means one thing. You're on your own in a lot of areas. I also believe you need to be praying like you never prayed before. Make sure your family knows what's going on, where you are. Have some communication between your family about if certain things happen, if certain things go down. I'm not saying get off the grid, and I've never, ever said anything like this in my church. I have said I believe things like this could happen, but I've never done what I'm doing right now. And I'm telling you that between September and November of this coming year, and you'll be able to check me, you know, if by the time we get November nothing's happened, or December 1st, man, you call me on this and say, Dana Coverstone, you are an absolute idiot and a fool for saying those things. Go right ahead. But I realize I'm responsible for what I've spoken. But I also know what I sense, and I know the Holy Spirit's voice enough to know that what I've heard, I believe is going to happen. And what I heard in December happened between March and June. Not because I'm a prophet, but because dreams have a prophetic edge to them sometimes. I've been doing a whole series on dreams and visions. I'm going to finish that series up tonight on my at our church. And I'm going to talk about why dreams and visions are literally an extension of the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, all those things are required for dreams. And I pray, Lord, show me what these things mean that I have seen. Show me how to interpret them and what they are. And right now as I speak this, it is June 24th, Wednesday night at 5:30 p.m. in Berksville, Kentucky. I'm in my office at the church, Living Word Ministries in Berksville, Kentucky, sharing this. Not to scare you, because I believe, you know, look, God gave the prophets of the Old Testament a lot of warnings. Not to scare people, but to prepare them for what was coming. And so I'm challenging you. Don't just throw my word away. Don't just think I'm some preacher trying to get people to come. That's not it either. Because look, the Bible says the last days will be a great falling away. Jesus tells people to endure to the end. Make sure you endure to the end. Why? Because people won't endure sound doctrine. They're gonna hear something. You know, some are gonna hear me and go, "Oh man, he is on drugs or something." I'm just telling you the dreams I've had. You can do with them. You can interpret them the way that you want to. But I'm going to declare that I believe we're going to see between September and November incredible, terrible, awful, nasty, bad things happen in this nation. And for the people who are not prepared for it, it's not just going to catch them in a bad place. It's going to destroy a lot of faith, a lot of hearts, a lot of relationships, a lot of people. The aim is to kill this nation. Because right now, we are a nation that stands in the way of a lot of the Antichrist principles like freedom, liberty, justice. First Amendment, Second Amendment, the Antichrist doesn't want those things. And yes, I do believe the Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth. And I don't really care what people think about this video. You can call me whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about me. But wait till December 1st to say it.
So, what do we do with information like this? Does God still use prophets? I mean, he says he's not a prophet, does not claim to be a prophet. What about now? What about today? What about what is going on? How do we know what is truth and what is not? And I just want to go over a few of the key bullet points that I wrote down as I watched this video. He says he's not a prophet, but he has had dreams that are prophetic. He says this is a warning for America, not the world. He continually says, brace yourself, brace yourself. Talks about Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground in America. He says it's a warning for the lost and God's people. He warns of hyperinflation, that believers need to prepare food, alternative means of currency, ample supply of guns and ammunition. He says that September through November is the timeline. He said God uses dreams, encourages us to pray for discernment, says that God used prophets to send out warnings in the Old Testament, talked about the Antichrist. He said, I believe part one came true, and I believe that part two will come true as well. And he says, I welcome criticism and will admit if I am wrong. Now, with this prophetic utterance, whether he calls himself a prophet or not, that's exactly what he's doing. It's very easy to test. A lot of prophecies are not so easy to test. We have a timeline here. So what do we do with these things? Some of the things that he says are very disturbing, are they not? He seems sincere. Does he not? He's sincere. And one thing that he did not do, he did not ask or endorse anybody else or send money to this or that. Oftentimes you'll see people, prophets, oh, if you just send money, I'll send you your own personal prophecy. So he seems sincere, and he's not asking for money. He does not look, he looks to me like a prophet in the Old Testament, because a lot of them were unwilling prophets. They really didn't want to do what God was calling them to do, but they had to. He seems like that to me. So what do we do with such things? What do we do with such information? Do we just pass it off and say, he's full of beans? Because that's exactly what the Israelites did to most of God's prophets in the Old Testament. Oh, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. All he does is speak evil about us. God is behind us, and it's not going to happen, and all that. So I believe that it is not wise to just cast off everyone who says they have a prophetic utterance from God. And with all of the disturbing claims that he makes, it can rile up our emotions. It can cause fear. And if that, and that's normal. And if that is the case, then you are relying on your own emotions to guide you as opposed to the Word of God. The Word of God in 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James Version says, first and foremost, before we even move on, we need to know this verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So if those feelings or those emotions are beginning to creep up in you and you are beginning to freak out and you are fearful, that is not from God. That is not from God. He says, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. How you think during these things and how you interpret these things is going to be very critical moving forward. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We have God's written word to guide us, to correct us, to help us during and through these things. Because what is going on in our world right now is not new to creation. These very things have happened over and over and over again in the Old Testament and in the beginning of the early church in the New Testament. They were going through horrible, horrible things. And the thing, and what he was saying, those are pretty horrible. Correct? So everything that it was written in the past was written for our benefit. Well, I get encouragement reading about David. King David, because he was called the greatest king, yet he was also an adulteress and a murderer, a horrible father. And I look at him, and God gives us endless examples of people who really are screw-ups. So I don't have an excuse not to do what God has called me to do, because God uses screw-ups. So he has those things written to encourage us to persevere through these things. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go back into the Old Testament. I believe that those things were types and shadows of things to come, that we can learn from them and we can apply them to today. So what were the prophets and or prophecies used for in the Old Testament? There are three characteristics. As I was studying this, there are three main things that God used the prophets or the prophecies for. Number one, God used them to prove that he was the one and only true God. He used them to prove that he was the one and only true God. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, he says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. I want to back up a little bit. I make known the end from the beginning. Do you realize that it only took three chapters in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, it only took him three chapters to reveal his plan of redemption? He talks about the Messiah within three chapters of the in the beginning. And he says, I let you know from the beginning what is going to be the end, because when those things happen, you will know that I am God. One of the greatest sins of the Israelites was that they began to create their own gods and fashion them out of wood and metal and stone. And they begin to pray to those gods and they begin to ask those gods, what should I do? Prophesy for me. Let me know the future. Give me direction. And God says, you go to these and they can't speak. They can't even walk on their own. yet you've turned aside from me and you're going after all of these other voices. He says, I tell you the beginning from the end so that you know that I am the living God, the one and only. Number two, he used them to deliver warnings to his people. Now, I call this, if you've been around any length of time, I call this the Israelites' cycle of redemption. If you read through their history, they have a cycle of redemption. They start out here, God says, follow my ways and my decrees and my commands. If you do, I will bless you. And God blesses them because he follows through with his promises. And then they start to get a little bit fat and happy. And when they become fat and happy, they begin to wander a little bit from God. And then they go into blatant sin. When that happens, he sends a prophet. Someone offering a warning. And says, if you'll just repent and turn back to me, then you will not have to go through the punishment of what is to come. Because God is a just God. And most of them did not. So then the punishment of God comes. And God uses other nations to come in and control them and enslave them. They put up with it for a little bit. Then they begin to cry out to God. And because he is a merciful God, he hears them and he delivers them. And then he blesses them. And then they get fat and happy. And then they go into sin. And then it's the cycle of redemption. So one of the things he used them for was to deliver warnings to his people. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 27 through 31, it says, so you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you, and from heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did evil, what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time and time and time again. See, this is talking about the cycle. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, of which you said, the person who obeys them will live by them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your spirit, you warned them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of the neighboring peoples, but in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. And you can say, well, Jim, he's talking about the Israelites. He's talking to the Israelites who were his people. That is correct. But my Bible says that when we become believers, we get grafted into that Jewish vine. And some of those promises are for us today. Some of the promises that he made were for a time and a season with those people, but I believe that they are types and shadows of things to come. So we need to take heed to warnings. Now, if you've gone through the public school system, you're probably not aware of the fact that America was founded on Christian principles. They were based upon biblical truths. And if you want to look that up, you can, because it's there. It's not taught, but it is there. And if you fast forward to now, it does not look like God's hand is on America with the way that things are going. They've kicked them out of schools. They've kicked them out of public places. They made it illegal in some places to do those things. You can't sing biblical or churchy songs at the Christmas choirs anymore in a school, a public school. And you look at the anger that is directed at God. and Christianity in general. And it looks very similar. It looks very similar. Number three, God used prophets and prophecies almost exclusively as a call to repentance. Every time he sent out a warning, it was a warning to veer from this way and go this way. Come back to me. He says, I wish that you would just repent and come back to me because I don't want to do this. He says, I want you to repent. So every warning by every prophet and prophecy in the Old Testament was almost exclusively a call to repentance. I believe we are right there. The church in America is right here. He is calling his people back to himself. So God used the prophets and the prophecies almost exclusively as a call to repentance. Jeremiah 15, 19. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. So he says to the prophet, go to the people, give them this warning, and let them turn to you, but you do not turn to them. You do not become like one of them. You see, the call of a prophet was very serious in the Old Testament. Very serious. And so that's why I have a problem personally with a lot of the people today that call themselves modern day prophets. Because most of the ones that I have seen live in mansions. They get paid a lot of money to go around and do what God has called them to do. But if you compare them to the prophets of the Old Testament, most of them were unwilling. They were willing, but they didn't want to. And they received a lot of scorn, a lot of punishment, because they were delivering God's word. He used the prophets and the prophecies as a call to repentance. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways. See, I believe that God does judge nations corporately, but it boils down to the fact that he is judging each and every individual in that nation. He says, I will hold each and every one of you, I will judge each and every one of you according to your ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all of your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Do you realize that in history, most great nations imploded from within? A lot of them were taken over by others, but first, usually, there was an implosion from within. In their own government, corruption in their government, kings, whatever. But most of them crumbled from within. And then they became vulnerable, and then other nations overtook them. And God says, just repent and turn away from your offenses. So, here are some rules for discerning or testing the prophets in the Old Testament. Because God says, I'm going to send people, I'm going to send prophets to speak for me. And there are going to be false prophets that claim to speak for me as well. So God gave them rules on how to handle these prophecies and these prophets. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 to 22. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I commanded him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. So if we just pass off prophecy, and we're going to get into that, does God still use them today? If we just pass off prophecy, and it's like, the guy's a nut job. Or, I agree with some of the things that he says, but I am anti this, so I am going to reject this message. God says, I am going to hold you accountable. call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. I wonder how many modern-day prophets, if we still lived by that rule, would call themselves modern-day prophets. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. He says, if it doesn't come true, it's not from me. Simple as that. Well, there are a lot of prophecies flying around today that don't give a specific timeline, or they're very vague. You know, people, you've heard of Nostradamus. Nostradamus supposedly prophesied and predicted that JFK was going to get shot. And his prophecy was in a poem, and it said, and lightning will strike from the sky, and the leader will be slain. Oh my gosh. He's talking about John F. Kennedy getting shot in the back of the head. In the Old Testament, God was very specific with his prophecies. Very specific. He even gave dates, timelines. He even gave the name of the king that would deliver them, and he wasn't even a king yet, Cyrus. So the Old Testament prophecies were very specific. And why? Because God wanted people to know this wasn't just a generality, or, oh yeah, I'm just going to spitball until one sticks. He's very specific. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 4. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart or with all your soul. It is the Lord God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. So God is saying, even in the Old Testament, there will be false prophets who prophesy certain things that do come true. But then they prophesy them usually to get their own gain. If you're familiar with Balaam in the Old Testament, he was a prophet for hire. God gave him the ability to prophesy. And other kings used him. And he says, well, yeah, for a fee, I'll prophesy for you. And it led people away from God. So if a prophet comes along and says, this is going to happen, and it happens, and he says, okay, now it's time to worship the Antichrist, not from God. Not from God. So now we're going to get into, we're going to fast forward. Does God still use prophets or prophecies today? And to find the answer, what do? Go to the scriptures. Remember, he's the one that tells the beginning from the end, the former things and the latter things. So does God still use prophecies or prophets or dreams today? Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And afterward, and I read that whole verse or the whole chapter, he's talking about the end days. So when he's saying the and afterward, he's talking about end times. I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just Jews, but on Gentiles alike. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is prophesying about what is to come. And he says, I will continue to use and give people the ability to dream dreams and prophesy. So he doesn't say that at the end of the scriptures of the Old Testament, all these things will no longer come to pass. I'm not going to use them anymore. So the Old Testament says, I will give prophecies. I will raise up prophets. And in Ephesians chapter 4, so fast forward to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Jesus appointed apostles. Jesus appointed prophets. If we don't have them today, why did Jesus appoint them? Now, I need to say something right now about the apostles part. It says that he appointed apostles. Jesus was still alive when the apostles were alive. He appointed his apostles. And then when one of them killed themselves, and after Jesus had been resurrected, they had to find another apostle. And they had a checklist. They said, we need another apostle to take Judas's place. So what are the criteria? The criteria were they had to have seen Jesus when he was alive in his ministry. They had to have seen Jesus after he was resurrected, because the witness was so important. They couldn't have someone who had never met Jesus and not seen his teaching and seen him resurrected. So they chose someone. That was the criteria in the scriptures for an apostle. It is impossible for someone who was living today to be an apostle appointed by Jesus Christ, according to that criteria. They would have to be over 2,000 years old. There are a lot of people walking around today who consider themselves and call themselves apostles. There is a group called the New Apostolic Reformation, and they believe that they have been appointed by Jesus as super apostles. And they may say some things and teach some things that do not go along with the scriptures. Red flag. So if you see someone that introduces himself as an apostle, red flag. According to my scriptures, you can't be unless you show me your birth certificate and you're over 2,000 years old. So I just want to make that point very, very clear. Jesus says in times, there will be false messiahs. There will be false prophets. And we need to learn how to discern from them. How do we do that? We go into the scriptures. So Jesus tells us what it is going to be like in the last days. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 through 13. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. You notice that there's a lot of things in there that are going on right now in our world. And he says, beware. You're going to have false prophets, and you are going to have true prophets. Because God did it in the Old Testament with his people, he will send out warnings again to his church. But he's talking about these things and the beginning of the end times. Matthew 24:24 says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see, if we're not grounded in the scriptures, we're going to have some charlatan come around and do some cool stuff. Signs and wonders and miracles, and say, hey, this is a false God. This is the real God. I'm showing you with signs and wonders. God says in the Old Testament, I have prophets and prophecies. He says in the New Testament, I will use prophets and prophecies. And how do we handle those? So if God, I believe, I'm standing here before you as a pastor, as a shepherd, I believe 100% according to the scriptures that there are prophets. Modern day prophets. They are not prophesying above and beyond what has already been written in the scriptures. They are simply mouthpieces for God. They are his mouthpiece. And I believe before everything gets to be an absolute crap storm in this world, he's going to send out warnings to his people. He's done it in the past. Those are types and shadows of things to come. He's going to do it again. And I believe in where we're at right now, there are already prophets and prophecies that are from God. I stand before you and say yes. So if God still uses prophets and prophecies today, how should we treat them? How should we treat them? Because I know most people is like, the guy's a nut job. He had a bad burrito. And just kind of poo-poo it. Well, that's exactly what the Israelites did to most of the prophets in the Old Testament. They did not heed the warnings. And they found themselves under God's wrathful hand. Punishment was inevitable. In 1 Thessalonians, so how should we treat prophecies and prophets today? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. You see, just because someone gives a prophecy doesn't mean that we just, No, we need to test them. Test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. You see, if we just dismiss prophets and prophecies today, we may be missing out on an opportunity to hear a warning from God himself. It says, don't quench the Spirit, but test all of them. Acts 17:11 says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is Paul. He goes into a little town of Berea, and the men say, come on in. We want to hear your teaching. And we'll sit here, and we'll just listen to you. And they get out the scriptures that they had, opened them up, and said, okay, begin to speak. And if you're saying things that don't align with what my Bible says, we're going to get rid of you real fast. They tested him. We need to do the very same thing. We need to test everything that comes down the pike. Everything. And be diligent about it. Matthew 24:24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Philemon chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You see what he's saying? He's praying. That your love may abound more and more in what? In knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern. Because if your knowledge is lacking and your depth of insight is lacking, you will be deceived. You will follow false prophets. It's an encouragement of what we need to do. So I have a checklist here. Number one, remember 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Use your mind. Be in prayer. Ask God for discernment. Number two, God always had a remnant in the Old Testament. God always saved a few for himself. I don't know about you, but I want to be that remnant today. I want to be that remnant today, and I need to know the voices and be able to discern and decipher the voices that I hear. And it's especially critical for pastors, because I believe there are a lot of pastors out there right now. They're so far down the path, they don't have any idea what is going on. Number three, the three main points for discernment: test the scriptures. Does it edify God? And does the message call for repentance and turning back for God? Another point I want to bring up, consider the one giving the prophecy. I went back in and I looked into Dana Coverstone's backstory. There's no bad things, no corruption, no nothing. And so we need to consider the sources. This is a biggie. Do not be driven by your emotions. Do not be driven by your emotions, because when you are driven by your feelings, usually thought processes are not right. We can't live but in a spirit of fear. Do not reject a prophecy because you do not like the message or part of the message. There are certain parts, and I'm going to read them here, but we have a tendency to do that. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. Oh, I don't like that. I disagree. I'm throwing the whole thing away. You can't do that. We can't do that. He talks about, Dana Coverstone did. He said, in things that we need to be doing. And as believers, he said, we need to prepare. We need to gather food, alternative means of currency, silver and gold, and an ample supply of guns and ammo. What I'd like to say to that is being a good steward. But do not put your faith in things. I believe God calls us to be good stewards. I believe he calls us to be prepared. But when we put our faith in those things that we've prepared and stocked up, as opposed to putting our faith in God, we're in trouble. In the end times, from what I can read in the scriptures, your 401k is going to be absolutely worthless. From what I read in the scriptures about end times, I don't care how many Roth IRAs you have. I don't care how many what you have in the bank. I don't care how much long-term disability you may have gathered up and saved in the bank. It's not going to do you any good. We need to be good stewards. We need to be prepared. And then I want to comment just a little bit here on you need to have an ample supply of guns and ammo. I have people that I love very dearly that are very anti-gun. And some of them, I'm sure, have said, okay, I'm out. I refuse to do this, which is fine. Which is fine. I have family members, friends, and I love them dearly. And they're just so anti-gun. It's like, no, I would not do that. And I've had people say, well, you know what? Jesus was a pacifist. And I was studying through this and I was reading and I came across a part of scripture I know that I've read a million times. And when I read it, I was like, whoa. And I went to Belinda and I says, do you realize that the scripture says this? And she goes, that's not in the scriptures. I go, yeah, it is. But when Jesus was sending out the 12, he sent them out in two different times in their ministry. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, verses 9, and then 9 and 10, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff for the worker is worth his keep. Now, the staff was actually a weapon that they would carry while they were going to these different towns. They could ward off animals, they could people that were trying to steal anything that they had, and they didn't have anything. And Jesus says, don't take any money, Don't take anything. Don't take an extra tunic. And don't take your staff. You're just walking out and doing what I've called you to do. But we read in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 through 36, and this is later on. This was getting closer when Jesus was starting to be seen as a rebel, as a troublemaker, and they were trying to arrest him. In Luke chapter 22, 35 through 36, in the New King James Version, and he said to them, "When I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." I couldn't believe it. But he says you need to be able to protect yourself. What I'm really trying to say here is we need to look at the scriptures in their entirety. And even when we disagree with them or don't like it, it doesn't mean we just toss it to the side. Jesus, and what's the difference between the first time he sent him out and the second time he sent him out? If you read on, he says, "I have been counted among the transgressors. I am now a wanted man, and I am sending you out in my name, and because of me, you are going to be hated." So you need to be able to protect yourself. What's the difference? It's the season in which they were in. One season, he says, "You don't need it. Don't take it. Leave it here." The next season, he says, "Oh, yeah, you better take one. And if you don't have one, sell your cloak." So these are Jesus' words, not mine. But what I want you to do is see everything in its entirety. Even when we disagree with certain parts of the scriptures, they're still the scriptures. And if you read on, he says, "Well, yeah, we've got two right here. Is that enough?" And he goes, "Yeah, that's plenty." So it's not that he said every single one of you needs to go out. And he said, "No, that'll be efficient." So some of them walked out without one, and some of them walked out with one. He didn't condemn the ones that walked out with it, or he didn't condemn the ones who didn't or chose not to. But it's his word, and we need to know his word. To wrap this up, we need to be in prayer like never before. We need discernment like never before. You know what's great about this prophecy? We're going to know. We are going to know. He has given us a timeline. We are going to know for sure in the next couple months whether this was from God or it wasn't from God. And we can't take prophecies or possible prophecies and just disregard them. Because if they are from God, we need to be heeding what the warning says. His warning was brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. Get prepared. It would not be a bad thing to get a little bit of food and a little bit of water. Just be good stewards with what God has given you. We've all seen the shortage of coins. You go to Walmart, there are certain registers. There are certain registers at Home Depot. "Sorry, this is card only because we don't have any change." So we need to heed these warnings. I believe in the bottom of my heart that ultimately at the bottom of every warning is God's call, calling his people back to himself. When I started this, when I first saw it, I realized how lacking my own prayer life has become. I mean, I'm well aware of God's presence, and I talk to him all day long. But I believe that God is calling his people to a deeper prayer. It says the prayers of a righteous man and a righteous woman availeth much. I believe that we are getting into a time when God is going to raise up his people according to his purposes, according to his plans, and use them like he's never used you before. But we have to hear that still, small voice that is the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus said, I need to go so that I can send who? The counselor, the advocate. A counselor helps you along. He helps you to see things that you don't know, see. He'll give you different perspectives on things. And he'll give you the direction in which you are to go and the direction you're not supposed to go. But I do believe that we have to heed these warnings. And like I said before, I love this one because we're going to know. We are going to know. But Jesus talked about these times are coming. The Old Testament says false prophets and false messiahs will arise. Jesus said in the New Testament, false prophets and false messiahs will arise. And he says that they're trying to deceive, if possible, the elect. You see, I believe we're living in a time where we are seeing the love of many growing cold. And that includes those who call themselves Christians. I believe that we are in the times when man and is hating man. We see the hate on the rise. And I believe that these things have been written down for our benefit so that we can know, that we can discern, we can decipher what is going on. That's why I fasted. I wanted to make sure that I was hearing from God his word. And I prayed this before I came out. I said, God, I want your words to go forth. And I give you permission to stop me in my tracks. I give you permission to take over my mouth. So I wasn't quite sure what was going to come out of my mouth when I came up here. But as a pastor, as a shepherd, it is my call, it is my duty to handle these things according to the scriptures. And it is my duty to pass those things on to you so that you don't say, whoa, Pastor Jim, why didn't you say anything about this? Why didn't you tell us the warning that God sent? So we will find out. But in the meantime, be closer to God than you've ever been. Be in intercessory prayer more than you've ever been. You see, in order to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, you got to drown out the crap of the world. Today, I realized today I fasted food, and then I drive a lot. Because I deliver instruments and implants for surgeries. And I never realized how much time I spent listening to garbage sports talk radio. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give up food and I'm going to give up this because I want to hear from you. And every time I got in my car, started up, and I'd reach over to turn the radio on. I went, nope, not today. You see, when we spend so much time being inundated by the things that's our normal, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God. And we need to hear his voice. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us discernment. You said that you would. You said in your word that if we seek you with all of our heart, that we will be found. Lord, we live in times that are unprecedented. And I do believe that we are moving quicker and quicker to the day when we see your return. So Heavenly Father, help us to discern those voices. Help us to take heed. Help us not to quench the Holy Spirit, but to lean on your Spirit more than we ever have. If there's anyone here, I want you to keep your head down and your eyes closed. If there's anyone here who has just kind of been skating along in your faith, just kind of going with the flow, kind of wandered away from God's ways, his truths, and his commands, and you've heard this warning that has gone forth, and the Holy Spirit has begun to tug on your heart, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted that blood that was shed on the cross, and you want to know him, you want to accept that payment for your sins, and you've never done it, now is the time. Now is the place. And I want you to raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, you've seen these hands grow up. I don't know if this guy is a prophet from you or not, but I do know, and I do hope, and I do pray that it sends us running back to you, that it sends us into incredible prayer mode, that we can lift up our families in prayer, that we can set aside and begin to fast some things in our lives that have taken over and have become detrimental to our walk with you. Lord, I want to be a part of that remnant. I do not want to be one of the ones whose faith was shipwrecked. I do not want to be one of the ones who is going to be deceived. Help me, Lord, to do what you've called me to do. I pray for each and every one that raised their hands, that they would take the next step, whatever that step is. That every person here would begin to read your word so that they can yield the sword of the Spirit with effectiveness. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood. We do not fight against those who are fighting in the streets. We do not fight against those who are screaming at us. We fight against the powers and principalities in the air. We are fighting a spiritual battle here. And we need to fight it in the spiritual realm. You've given us the tools. In your armor, help us to begin to clothe ourselves in the armor of God each and every day. Help us to pick up the sword of the Spirit and yield it like a master. For we're not only called for our own benefit, we are called for the benefit of our friends, our families, our co-workers. We are to be that light in a very, very dark world right now. Help us to stand firm. Help us to heed these warnings that have gone out. And most importantly, help us to lean on you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Release us with your protection, with your mercy, and your grace, because it says they're new every morning, and we need it. Help us, Lord, to be a vehicle to extend that grace and mercy to others, even when it's difficult to do so. We thank you. We praise you. Amen. You may use the mic.
That was a good sermon. It was well researched. I have the utmost respect for Jim. And he's the head of this church. The body of Christ has many parts. And I have been studying and looking for Christ's return for 17 years. I put thousands and thousands of hours into it. And I've been watching this man that we watched. I've seen 5 or 6 of his videos. The messages that you put forth were very good. Don't fear. Test everything. We're going to do that. And like Jim said, this is for our families. We're for the people that we work with. And this is why I felt heavily to speak about this right now. Jim's right that, you know, this man gave dates. However, if we don't take what he says right now, and those dates come, you'll be in a much worse place than if you took heed of those words right now. The man claimed not to be a prophet, just like Pastor Jim said. But how many people in the Old Testament, you know, Moses, I'm not the right guy, I don't speak well. Just a little bit ago in the Sunday sermon? Gideon. I'm the weakest man from the smallest tribe. You got the wrong guy. And in that, I see one way that this man is on the right path. He's humble. That should come from a man of God. We test the things he says. I've watched that video multiple times, again, 5 or 6 videos, and I feel that everything he says, he quotes scripture. He's a student of God's word. He's a pastor. He reads 40 sources of information from around the world. He's looking for God's return. This is would be a person that God would entrust with this kind of information for this day and this time, a man that's looking for his return. There are so many verses that say, don't be caught off guard. Look for my return. Be prepared. Joel chapter 2, like Pastor Jim said, your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. God's told us this is happening. Other things that you just feel, and I've prayed about this a lot. I've spent many, many hours on this stuff. Brace yourself 3 times. That's a biblical number. The hands that he saw in his dreams, that's just like the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel. He said he felt sick the night he had those visions. That's exactly the way Daniel felt. He was ill in bed. He couldn't get out of bed after he saw the things he saw of the end times. He couldn't get out of bed. This is a common thing. This is why these are the testings that I'm seeing in these things. And again, this is the Holy Spirit. Jim, the head of this body, the Spirit gives to every individual as he sees fit, different gifts, and this is my level, my area of thousands of hours of study. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that I've been given, is this, these kinds of things, looking for Christ's return, looking for truth, knowing what's coming. Some other words he said that were straight from the Word of God. Let's see here. I kind of wrote them down as he was saying them again. People won't endure sound doctrine. That was straight from the Word of God. He didn't quote a verse, but that was straight from the Word of God. He quoted 1 Corinthians, gifts of the Spirit. So again, I'm just using all these as litmus tests of this is a very sound guy, and I've also in my heart felt all these things that he's saying very powerfully over and over again, spent many hours praying about this. So the reason I say all that is to, it's not fear. The reason we cannot not have fear, like the rest of the world, we're still going to go through a lot of this stuff with the rest of the world. We don't have fear because we know the end result. We know that this body, if it's destroyed, You know, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy the soul. We know if this body is destroyed, where we're going to go. That's why we have hope, and we're not going to have fear. But we also have to look at the facts. And there's dark times coming on the world, I believe, with all my heart, just like he said, the Antichrist is right here. Amos 5:10 says, "Woe to the one who longs for the day of the Lord." Why do you long for that day of the Lord? The day will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. So we don't go with the spirit of fear, but we also know from the Word of God that these days are going to be like this. And so I say it doesn't hurt us to take this very seriously and prepare. If you wait till November, and if what he's saying is true and hyperinflation happens, you could get 10 items for $10. Now you can get one item for $10. Prepare, tell your families, get together with your families, make a plan. In my heart, I've been praying and praying and praying about this. I feel like, and there's a very low downside. If you buy silver and gold, nothing happens, you sell it back. If you buy a year's worth of food and supplies and toothbrush and toothpaste, nothing happens, you don't have to buy any of that stuff for the next year. So there's very little downside. If anybody would like any other, it'd be up to Jim, of course, anybody would like any other, there's a few other videos of his that I could suggest, but I feel with everything in me. Also, one more thing that just came to my mind. 99% of people never hear the audible word of God. They don't hear it. One of the best ways you can know is if something's been in your spirit. If you know this is a bad place where America's at, you've been feeling it for a long time, confirmations are very important. If you've been hearing something for a while, feeling something for a while, and all of a sudden somebody comes out of nowhere and says something to you, a couple days later somebody else confirms the same thing, that's how most of us are going to know it's from God. I have never had more confirmations on this in my life than anything. Usually two, and I'm like, that's it, that's from God. I've had 15, 20. I pray regularly. If I'm to go out and meet somebody today and there's a reason for me to speak to them or them to speak to me, please let it happen. And it's happening every few days. Get ready. Prepare for it. We don't have a spirit of fear, but we also know the facts in the Word of God that says these days are coming. It's back to you, Jim.
You know, hang on, Donzie. One of the verses that always, Jesus spoke a lot about his second coming. He spoke a lot about the kingdom of God and what was going to happen. And one of them is in the parable of the 10 virgins. And you kind of have to understand Jewish weddings in order to understand the parable to its entirety. But basically, when a Jewish man back in the early days, when he was betrothed to a woman, he would begin to build a room for her. And once that room was built, he would then go and show up to gather his bride. And she never knew when he was going to show up. So it was her duty to be ready to go at a moment's notice, no matter what happened. And so there were five virgins who they were told, make sure you've got oil in your lamps and you're ready to go. And there were five virgins that did that, and there were five virgins that did not do that. You see, he's talking about the end times and being ready. One of the things that they had to do was they had to physically get oil for their lamps. They were given a direct, they had to not only prepare spiritually for the union that they were going to have, they also had to do physical things. And I believe what Brian says is true. There are physical things that we have to do as well as spiritual things that we have to do. The only thing that I want to warn you about is, and I love my brother Brian dearly, but that burning in your chest thing,
you could get confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, but if it doesn't, if it's not according to the word, you need to be very careful. The Mormon church is based upon that burning in the bosom. Do you feel that burning in the bosom? And they say, yes, on that, that is God. Well, no, not necessarily. So you need to know your scriptures. I do believe that God will give you confirmation, but do not rely strictly on confirmation. Make sure you're relying on the word of God. Well, he gives us plenty of things to focus on besides that. But to me, I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy. If someone claims to be a prophet and prophesies something that does not come true, I will have nothing to do with that person. Period. It's you either bat 1,000 with me and with the Bible, or we're done. Oh, he's right 99 out of 100 times. No, that's not the standard set up by God in his word. So that's where I am going to stand. That's where I encourage you to stand. 100% reliability in what they say. 100%. Otherwise, the Bible says, it ain't from God. So we have probably parents waiting to get young ones. I will stick around if any of you have any questions. Other than that, let's just ask that God would dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, and I pray that we will take heed, that we will take to heart all things that we hear, all things that we take in, and that we will test them according to your scriptures. Not to rely on our emotions, but upon the very word of God, so that we may stand firm in what I believe is coming. But we need to do it diligently. We need to do it with discernment. And we need to ultimately do it with love, and to show that love to other people. That is why we are here. Help us to prepare physically. Help us to prepare spiritually. But more importantly, continue to draw us back to you. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to talk just one last thing about the cyclical redemption of Israel. They were blessed by God. They began to get a little fat and happy. Then they absolutely turned and began to sin. And then God sent out a warning. I believe America is in the warning phase. I believe we are going to hear multiple warnings from multiple voices. I truly believe that's exactly where we're at. There's a call to repentance going on. It's interesting. My message this Sunday is going to be about Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. And during that Feast of Trumpets, it's leading into their new year, the Jewish New Year. And in that time, there is a month leading up to that. That is a time that they are to focus on God and their relationship with him. And then there are the 10 days of awe, where they get on their face and they repent to God. And then after that, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a joyous celebration. It's very interesting that all that is happening in September. So we will study that. And I believe there are things that we can learn. The festivals, the Moedim, and I've taught about them. I'm wrapping them up this week. They are God's plan for redemption. And they perfectly spell out his plan on how he's going to do it. So I would invite you to come on Sunday. Is there any quick... Actually, I gotta dismiss you guys. Little Josiah is just about had it. So bless you as you go. If you have any questions, feel free to come on up. Thank you.